Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
It is time to detox your kitchen. Spring has sprung, and I couldn't be happier. And of course, we're also so happy to have Lisa Barrett. She joins us twice a month here with her wonderful hubby, Ron. He's not here today. Lisa is. Lisa, let's jump into our kitchens and get them nice, fresh, clean, and spring-like.
Absolutely. Spring is in the air, and that means spring cleaning. And our kitchen sinks are a good place to start because they may be harboring more germs than your toilet bowl. So, yeah, pretty gross. A new study in the Journal of Applied Microbiology found that they do, and they, on average, are home to about 100,000 bacteria per square centimeter. And your sinks can literally harbor E. coli and Salmonella on the sides of the sink. So this is a place we often overlook in our kitchens, and we definitely want to clean these regularly. And I have a great recipe for you. If you take baking soda and just mix it with a little natural dish soap until it kind of forms a paste, so just keep squirting in the soap until you get a nice, like, toothpaste frosting, that will scour your sink without subjecting yourself to harmful chemicals from those really toxic abrasive cleaners that you find.
Lisa, what about vinegar?
Yeah, vinegar is great, too. I love vinegar. You know, the soft scrub, the natural soft scrub, is just going to get more of those stains and grime better. But vinegar, you know, I've got a vinegar recipe for you coming up, actually, for pesticides, in fact.
Great.
Yes. And step number two is we're going to clear the air, because we talk about indoor air a lot, Ron and I, on creating a healthy home, but we don't really think about it in terms of our kitchen. And your kitchen is home to a lot of formaldehyde, actually. Formaldehyde is a carcinogen, and it's also a VOC, a volatile organic compound. And we find it in the kitchen in the pressed wood products. So basically your entire cabinet system is likely off-gassing formaldehyde. It's those the subshelving. So you think of particle board and that cheap furniture that's held together with little pieces of wood, which is MDF or otherwise known as particle board. That is held together with formaldehyde resins. So a really great thing that you can do to absorb formaldehyde is get certain plants, certain household plants, were actually studied by NASA to remove formaldehyde and other VOCs. And these five that I'm going to mention are called the five super ornamentals. And these five are particularly good at removing formaldehyde. So there's the purple waffle plant, the English ivy, English ivy, the variegated wax plant, the asparagus fern, and the purple heart plant. So those are just five. There's actually a lot more, but, you know, if you don't have it in your budget to buy an air purifier, you can get these plants for as little as $4 and start cleaning up the air in your kitchen. Yeah.
Now, how many plants do you actually need for it to work?
Yes, that's a great question. You definitely want a potted plant, number one, because you need it in the soil. This is not fresh flowers. And number two, you need one plant every 100 square feet to effectively clean the air. So a few in your kitchen is perfect.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, now moving on to step number two. You want to avoid toxic plastics. I know we did the ABCs of plastics a few months ago. We really got into plastics. But this is so important. I mean, plastics in general are ubiquitous today, and really we want to avoid them, but you really need to know what you're using. So if you flip over any of your plastic containers or your plastic water bottles, you'll see a triangle, which is called the resin identification code, and that tells you what, basically it's there for recycling purposes, to tell you if it can be recycled, but it tells you what kind of plastic it is, so you can use this to your advantage. And you definitely want to avoid plastic number 3, which is PVC, polyvinyl chloride, the most toxic plastic. You want to avoid number 6, which is polystyrene, and you want to avoid number 7, which is polycarbonate. 7 is the one that leaches BPA, bisphenol A. Number 7 was in the baby bottles back before they banned it, but you still find it in a lot of hard plastics. It literally makes the plastic hard.
What about number 1?
Number 1 is PET. That's polyethylene terephthalate. And number one is really in single use. So if you have a water bottle, I know you guys don't because you filter your own water and you're perfect and stuff. But anyone listening,
I wouldn't say perfect, but we do.
You guys are perfect. If you're using a water bottle, a plastic water bottle, and you flip that over, that's going to be likely a number one. That's a single use. And that's important, a great question, because those are not meant to be reused. And people will rewash those and reuse them, and they get scratched. And obviously, the plastic chemicals can get into the water. So that's a big no-no. And in general,
I make my own juice, but I was in a hurry. So I bought this Evolution Fresh Cold Press Essential Greens with lime, and it's got the celery, the spinach, romaine, et cetera. And it is a number one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to drink it. I'm not going to reuse it. But I was like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to see the bottom of it while you're talking. Sure, it's not one of the super bad ones. So, but I usually do try to make my own. But
yeah, well, there was a study done that showed that all plastics basically have some type of estrogenic activity, and I just think it's really important in general to avoid them as much as we can. Obviously, a green juice and things like that, you're going to have them once in a while. The goal is just to use stainless steel and glass whenever you can. You know, being cognizant. All right, and then moving on, you want to control your odors in the kitchen. You know, we breathe 20,000 breaths a day, 3,400 gallons of air every day. So the kitchen is one of the biggest areas in the home that traps odors from last night's dinner and smoke and pets and mildew, cleaning supplies and all of that. So really important is to use that vented exhaust fan when you're cooking. It's going to help reduce moisture, which is really important for reducing mold and mildew. And also, it's going to vent the cooking particulates. And if another great thing you can do is in your HVAC system, your heating and cooling system, you can actually put in an odor reduction filter in there. That's specific for odors. So if you have a lot of pets and you just have a house that has a lot of odors for whatever reason, that's a good filter to get, and you can kind of interchange that.
Hmm. You know, it's funny you mentioned that about the vent the exhaust, because for a lot of people, those of you who are listening, it's important to also change the actual filter because it gets pretty black pretty quickly. So make sure that you're cleaning it often. And I was always wondering if it actually did anything. So it's good to know. I mean, I use it all the time because we have a gas stove at home, and I hate, you know, obviously I don't want to inhale the smell of the gas and the carbon monoxide. So we keep it on all the time when we're cooking. And when we had a gas issue not too long ago, and the guy from the gas company came and he showed me with his meter how when you use a gas stove, how it actually releases the gas into the air. I guess it's carbon monoxide, right, Lisa? I think that's what it releases. I think it's carbon monoxide. So he was saying when you use the actual exhaust, he showed me the difference. So it showed me that it really does work. So for those of you cooking on gas, please use your exhaust fans.
Yes, and having a carbon monoxide detector in your home is really good too. Those are, you know, affordable, and you can just plug them in if you have gas appliances, which I recommend, or even have an attached garage.
Perfect. All right, we have time for one more.
One more. Okay, pesticides in your produce. You know, they're doused in pesticides unless you're buying organic. So if you're on a budget, make sure you're looking for the Clean 15. Environmental Working Group comes out with this list every year. They're the 15 produce lowest in pesticides. And you can purchase, avoid the Dirty Dozen. These are the highest in pesticides. And if you fill your sink with warm water and add a cup of vinegar, I promised you the vinegar recipe, you can soak your produce for about 10 minutes, and it'll literally remove the pesticide residue as well as that wax residue that you find on your fruits and veggies.
I love that. And that would be for the items that are the Clean 15, right? Not necessarily. Because a Dirty Dozen, I don't think you can actually, even if you soak it, you can't really get rid of the pesticides that are inside, right? So that's why they say to buy organic of the Dirty Dozen. But on the Clean 15, you could use that type of a recipe.
Yes, exactly. Clean 15, exactly. Exactly. And a fruit and veggie wash is good too, if you, which is what I use. But whatever is more convenient for you.
Yes, I'm a big fan. All right. Well, Lisa, thank you. Those are great tips. And for those of you who are listening and you want to hear them again, we'll be up on radiomd.com very shortly, /naturally savvy. You can learn more about Ron and Lisa at Ron and Lisa, the Healthy Home Dream Team on Facebook. And you can follow them on Twitter at Ron and Lisa. We do. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Have a great day. Detox your kitchen and stay well.